Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia County.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Meyer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Rebecca F. Ward reports in the Times Union that a federal appeals court on March 29th overturned part of an injunction that had temporarily blocked New York cannabis regulators from issuing retail licenses for the Hudson Valley and three other regions in the state. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit will now allow the state to resume licensing cannabis stores in central and western New York, the Mid-Hudson Valley, and Brooklyn, while the injunction remains in place in the Finger Lakes. A federal lawsuit filed in November in Albany challenged the state's decision, declaring the proposed Pharisite New York One store was ineligible for retail license because one of the owners, a Michigan resident, lacked, and I quote, a significant New York State presence, end quote. The company with the Michigan owner had picked the Finger Lakes as its first choice to open a shop, followed by the other regions. Venus Rodriguez, a Mid-Hudson applicant from Rockland County who wanted to open a shop last summer, said, and I quote, it's just this big sigh of relief, like a big exhale, end quote. So far, only 5 stores have been opened in the state, even though recreational cannabis has been legal for 2 years. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Andre Emeco reports at Porcupine Soup that 74-year-old Harry Breaker died in a house fire on Main Street in Catskill on March 29th. Home oxygen tanks exploded during the fire, but no firefighters were injured. Investigators believe the cause of the fire was accidental. Catskill, Athens, West Athens, Hudson, Greenport, Malden, Saugerties, and Kistacombe fire crews and Catskill Ambulance, Catskill Police Department, State Police, Greene County Sheriff's Office, Catskill DPW, and Greene County Fire Investigation Team responded to the blaze. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Zach Fink reports at New York State of Politics that New York's next budget is due April 1st and budget negotiations in Albany are entirely out of public view. Governor Kathy Hochul, Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins, and Assembly Speaker Carl Hestie are the negotiators, but have not spoken publicly in more than a week. Republican State Senator Jim Tedesco said, and I quote, "As we talk about transparency as it relates to this particular budget coming up, we are going down now the same old slippery slope that history has shown us has not worked very well in New York State," end quote. The budget could be late. As the story says, there is already discussion about passing extenders early next week to keep the government running and make payroll. But no one really knows what is going on behind closed doors in Albany. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Jamal Cutler reports in Columbia Green Media that the Historic Preservation Commission on March 24th issued a certificate of appropriateness to the Galvin Foundation to convert the 402-406 Warren Street property into a 30-room hotel with a restaurant and retail space. Architect Walter Chatham explained the plan, saying, and I quote, "These buildings are quite old, much closer to the original Hudson buildings than they would be fancy like the Victorian buildings. We've all agreed to simplify the designs and get portions and materials right," end quote. The story did not say when the hotel at the corner of Warren Street and North 4th Streets will open. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, March 30th. And folks, time to just have a little bit of courage. Next couple of days are going to be cold and crappy, but things are starting to look up, especially by next weekend. So just hang in there. Regional average soil temperature is 40 degrees. Local early morning temperatures range from 17 degrees in Tannersville to 29 in Red Hook. Pollen will be medium today and should come down tomorrow, especially in the afternoon, and be low for the weekend. It's looking like Saturday's changing conditions could impact arthritis sufferers, so get stuff done today if you can. Speaking of today, it will be dry but windy. I could tell you it's going to be around 13 miles per hour most of the day, but that probably doesn't mean much. So just make sure yard stuff isn't going to be blown around. And if you do go outside, since fires are a bad idea right now till the ban is lifted, make sure you wear that jacket that has the working zipper. We get a high temperature of 42 degrees happening at 4 p.m. Overnight, winds calm down and temperatures fall to 25 degrees. Bring those plants in. Tomorrow, the freeze breaks by 9 a.m. and we get a high of 48 by 1 p.m. Right about that time, rain chances enter the region. Overnight, it gets stronger and persists through Saturday, which will have a high of 69. But that heat energy packs a wallop. It gets pretty stormy with some damaging wind gusts and potential lightning, especially in the afternoon. Overnight, rain comes to an end around 1 a.m., which is good because by 7 a.m., temperatures drop to 30 degrees. Sunday will be dry and have a high of 47. Today's river temperature will be 40.4 degrees, and the tide strength will be very low. Sunset today will be at 7:04 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:38 a.m. Looking way up, we see we've had our 7th X-class flare yesterday, and looky here, flare chances have jumped up to 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 487.4 kilometers per second at 2.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 135, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
You got to try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you live in Arkansas, three bills just signed by the governor just made voting more complicated for the state's vulnerable citizens who use absentee ballots and the election workers who count those ballots. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed HB 1411, prohibiting the proactive sending of absentee ballots by election officials, criminalizing it as a misdemeanor. Some pro-voter states allow permanent vote-by-mail lists, aiding disabled and elderly voters. If you receive your absentee ballot, you'll no longer have access to drop boxes to return it. Where some states restricted them to only secure locations, Arkansas has banned them altogether with SB 258, joining South Dakota's similar ban signed earlier this month. It's true that processing mail-in ballots takes longer than in-person ballots, which is why, since the height of the pandemic, many states have allowed mail ballots to be pre-processed before Election Day. Arkansas, SB 250 mandates that the count be completed, quote, within 24 hours of the close of the polls and with no significant breaks in the counting process. This is on top of 2021's HB 1715, which added extra absentee verification requirements and made the returning of four or more absentee ballots an act of voter fraud. The Conservative Heritage Foundation counts only three cases of voter fraud since 2002. We have links to Arkansas's new laws and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
This bill is going to become the law of the land. Congress is going to take back its constitutional responsibility over the power to declare war and to put our troops in harm's way.
On a 66-30 vote, the Senate repealed the 1991 and 2002 authorizations of military force against Iraq. Virginia Senator Mark Warner called the repeals long overdue, and some lawmakers said their initial approval of them was a mistake. The measure now goes to the House. Meanwhile, public officials across the country are renewing calls for gun safety protections after the mass shooting at a Nashville private school. In less than 100 days, there have been 130 mass shootings with 193 deaths and 498 injuries, according to the Gun Violence Archive. Chris Brown, president of the gun control organization Brady, said red flag laws might have prevented the shooting.
19 states and the District of Columbia have those laws, and they enable family members in some states, law enforcement in all states, to remove guns from an individual who is at risk to themselves and others.
Tennessee has no red flag law. A 2022 analysis from the Kaiser Family Foundation noted firearms are the leading cause of death for children ages 1 to 19. Just a month ago, several House Republicans backed a bill to make an AR-15-style rifle the national gun of the U.S. Howard Schultz, former CEO of Starbucks, testified before a Senate committee describing the coffee chain as a leader in workers' rights, providing health insurance, college tuition reimbursement, and a $17.50 minimum wage. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders grilled Schultz about the company's union-busting efforts in Buffalo, New York.
An administrative law judge found Starbucks guilty of, quote, egregious and widespread misconduct, end quote, widespread coercive behavior, and showed, quote, a general disregard for the employees' fundamental rights, end quote.
Officials from federal financial agencies testified before the House Financial Services Committee about recent bank failures. Martin Gruenberg, chairman of the FDIC, acknowledged more can be done to better inform the public about the banking industry.
We should do more and perhaps a better job of explaining to the public how deposit insurance works, what is covered, what is not covered, what are the options available to people when they open a bank account.
Kentucky is the latest state to pass a law banning gender transition care for children under the age of 18, as the Republican-controlled legislature overrode Governor Andy Beshear's veto. Additionally, the law rejects requirements for schools to refer to students by their preferred pronouns. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Yeah.
That was The Doors of Mr. Bones from the 2022 album Floating Ghost Hotel from the Columbia County-based Slink Moss Explosion.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
More than 300 climate activists came to the state capitol on March 28 to urge the governor and state lawmakers to include New York Renew's climate, jobs, and justice package in the final budget due April 1st. In part two, we hear from the MC, Monique Fitzgerald of the Long Island Progressive Coalition, Senator Brooks of Rochester, Assemblymember Epstein, Gladys Puglia of Make the Road, Senator Krueger, Assemblymember Szilagyi, and Devin Beaumont from NYPIRG. Then, in a separate event, about the need to clarify state rules to enable an out-of-state risk retention group to provide insurance to nonprofit local car rideshare programs in New York, we hear from Assemblymember Kellis.
Our next speaker, Senator Brooke. We have to pass the climate, jobs, and justice package. And what we kept running into is that our local governments and our state and our federal governments kept telling us as individuals, you have to fix it, when they have known for so long that billion-dollar companies, fossil fuel companies, billionaires themselves are the ones who have created the crisis that we're in. And now as we sit here in this crisis, we have to stay strong that it is not solved on the back of working people all across the state. That's what this package is about, affecting the climate crisis. If we are not centering justice, if we are not centering the black and brown people who are already suffering from the climate crisis, if we are not centering good-paying union jobs for people to transition. Senator F.
It'll say whether we care about the future of the planet or not. It'll say if we care around how we reduce our waste, how we hold corporations accountable, how we ensure that we have resources in the state to make sure that we can do what we need to do for solar, for wind, for composting.
And next up, we have a community member from Make the Road, Gladys Puglia.
Who pays taxes for 20 years. And like everyone else, I have the right to clean and healthy environment to live in. But I suffer asthma, and the neighborhood where I live has historically had a high rate of asthma victims. The environment is made worse by heavy vehicles, traffic, and the BQE. My health is deteriorating, and I am frequently have to go to the doctor and hospital, which constitute a burden for society.
We have the Senate Finance Chair, a tremendous ally to New York Renews and our coalition, and a senator of the 28th District in Manhattan, Senator Krueger.
We know this is democracy, That's right. That people's voices have to count. We know people come to Albany for all kinds of reasons at budget time. Some we agree with, some we don't. It doesn't matter. The one thing we know we agree on is we have to save the planet. There's not a negotiating or debate about it. We all have to be in it. No matter what other issues we're here for, we have to be here to do what we need to do now. Because why? Because if our planet collapses, it doesn't matter what else you care about. It doesn't matter what you fight for. You care about your children, your grandchildren, and the future of this planet, and what's going to happen to all of us. We have to fight together for these changes. So oil and gas infrastructure, that's crazy. We all have to get off of oil and gas. We know that. So we shouldn't be spending money on building more infrastructure. You all know that. You have an amazing agenda of bills that I am...
Next speaker is from Long Island. She is a champion. She is always on our side. She is one of our strongest allies. The woman, Asalajis, from the District 22.
And solidarity fighting for our communities, right?
I want to give a shout out to Long Island. I mean, Long Island
is a disadvantaged community. I live in a community that is impacted by the climate crisis, where young people have asthma because of the highways. And so I stand with you as a legislator, but as a New Yorker calling for change. Woo! So today we stand proud, we stand tall, and we stand united, right? Our budget is about value. So we need New York State to show that they value our work in ensuring that we combat the climate crisis, that they value our communities, because we know that communities of color are always at disadvantage when it comes to the climate crisis. We need them to invest into the climate package. We need to make sure that we're loud and proud and investing in programs that support our communities. Get off of fossil fuels. So I just want to say thank you.
Has been a lead force behind the Climate Superfund Act, which was included in the Senate One House budget. Here to make polluters pay and represent for Nightmare.
My name is Devin, and I'm a Nightbird Associate from Brooklyn. Is anyone here from Brooklyn? The work must take to deal with the climate crisis are immense. Already, New York must fix and adapt its infrastructure to deal with more severe storms, extreme heat, and warming temperatures. This is costing you, the taxpayer, billions of dollars every year. Is that fair? No! Who should pay? The answer is the oil and gas industries. Strong history, a strong lineage. Accountable for the pollution, accountable for making the industry accountable for what they have created. The state and federal Superfund toxic waste cleanup programs are an example of a polluter's pay principle. Now, Senator Krueger and Assemblymember Dinowitz, Climate Change Superfund Act places these big oil and gas industries on a financial hook for the mess that they caused. extends the polluter's pay principle to greenhouse gases from the combustion of fossil fuels. The primary cause of climate change, it will raise $3 billion a year and $75 billion total over 25 years.
And Saravana Shrestha,
protecting the private utilities that make their profits off of our lives and our water and our earth. Thank you so much for having a wide coalition present here. We are fighting to lead on climate. We cannot just have CLCPA and sit around. We have to take action, and we need to do it this week through the budget. Thank you so much.
Next, we hear from Assemblyman McKellis at a press conference on the need for legislative action to change the rules to make it easier for risk retention groups to insure nonprofit car share programs.
To support a bill in the Senate and the Assembly that would make sure that car shares legally can continue to operate in New York State. So car shares are member-based nonprofits that allow for people to get a membership and share cars. So for example, in Ithaca, New York, we have Ithaca Car Share. There are 8,000 people who have been members of Ithaca Car Share for 30 cars. This is not only an equity issue for people who cannot afford their own car or choose not to have a car, but this is also a huge environmental issue. If you think about how many cars there would be if Ithaca Car Share did not exist, 8,000 people have membership or have had membership with Ithaca Car Share. That's the number of cars that we are talking about that have been taken off the road because of the ability to share cars collectively. There is a threat right now to car shares existing in New York State because of an interpretation, an antiquated interpretation of federal law that was put into place in the 1970s that allow for risk retention groups to support nonprofits to provide auto insurance in New York State. And that interpretation says that nonprofit collective, RRG, as we call them, or risk retention group, has to be domiciled in New York State. We are literally the only state that has that interpretation. So this nonprofit that we currently have supporting our car shares and want to continue to support our car shares moving forward is being told by New York that they need to move from where they are currently domiciled and have been for 2 decades to New York State, change their name, start all over again, just for New York State. And we are saying that that is unacceptable.
This has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. More than 300 climate activists came to the state capitol on March 28th to urge the governor and state lawmakers to include New York Renew's climate, jobs, and justice package in the final budget, which is due April 1st. A key issue is to start raising at least $10 billion a year to fund the rapid transition to 100% renewable energy. The state Senate One House budget proposal, unlike the Assembly's, does include several of the proposals by New York Renews, including the Climate and Community Protection Fund, the New York Heat Act, and the Climate Superfund Act. In part one, we hear from the MC, Monique Fitzgerald of the Long Island Progressive Coalition, Senator Pete Harkin, chair of the Senate Environmental Conservation Committee, Assemblymember Anna Kellis, Dawn Wells Clyburn, the executive director of Push Buffalo, Seneca Jessica Ramos, and Chief Harry Wallace of the Uncochog Nation.
Welcome, welcome, New York Renews, Climate Jobs and Justice. Welcome to our press rally. You all showed up, are here to get our climate justice now. Without further ado, I just want to bring up our first speaker. Please welcome our sponsor for our Climate Community Protection Fund, the chair of the Environmental Committee, Senator Harkin.
This is about protecting jobs and labor standards as we transition our economy, both with the new jobs and, unfortunately, the jobs that end. It's about electrifying our buildings and decarbonizing our economy and making those who have polluted pay for the cleanup. Thank you again for being here. And now is the time to push the pedal to the metal. We need to make sure the governor, the Senate, and the Assembly put all of the New York Renews package in this year's budget, and let's fund the CLCPA.
Next up, we have Assemblywoman Kellis.
We have filled the Capitol with people who understand that if we don't make change now, we will not have a future without profound suffering. That is what we're here for today. We know that we need to electrify our entire building infrastructure. Not tomorrow, today. We need an charging station infrastructure across our entire state, and we are one of the last. We are more behind than most of the states on the Eastern Seaboard to make sure that we do not continue to depend on an oil and gas infrastructure that was systematically placed in environmental justice communities, in the communities where people had the least power and the least voice. We cannot do this without sufficient funds. And we are hearing, y'all, we all know this from the United Nations, that if we do not reduce our global greenhouse gas emissions by 50% in the next 7 years, we will not be able to prevent the worst of climate change. So it is today, it is now, and none of us will leave without this done.
So thrilled to have join with us today the executive director from Push Buffalo, Dawn Wells Climate!
We are not arguing about climate crisis anymore. We the people are living, breathing, and suffering in real time. According to the IPCC, the global temperatures are estimated at 1.5 degrees Celsius by 2030. By 2030, 1.5 will impact us in catastrophic ways. Right now, at the end of 2022, we're at 1.1. 1.1, y'all. That means we are at the point of no return if we don't make the changes that we need to make right now, across the world, we have seen these catastrophes hit poor, black, brown, indigenous, working class people harder than anyone else, and we are not having it. It ain't right. In Buffalo, New York, where I live, my children, my family, we live there and we suffer the consequences of laws that we put in place. We had the climate law, the CLCPA in 2019, and here we are in 2023 trying to get it funded. How are you going to have a law that's not funded? Let's fund the CLCPA. Right. Home to some of the oldest housing stock in the country. And it is one of the most racially and economically disparate cities in New York State. Okay? What that means, that ain't right. And so what that means is when we had the blizzard in December, 47 people lost their lives. Most of them were people of color. And it's not going to end if we don't get what we need right here, right now. They talk about what are the solutions? What is our plan? We have a plan. We presented the solution. Upgrading the electrical grid results in less frequent power outages. Infrastructure upgrades to geothermal networks and backup sources of electricity. Improving heat retention in homes through weatherization. Investment in widespread adoption of electric vehicles that can provide backup electricity to homes while providing protection from carbon monoxide. Half the people that were stuck in their cars died from carbon monoxide poisoning, trying to stay warm.
That's not right.
Because those with power, means, and privilege, climate deniers, and fossil fuel industrialists, they believe that they are insulated from climate change. Their profit motive is threatened by a rapid decarbonization. They seek to slow down the transition, knowing full well that the conversion is inevitable. And they have silently
been investing in these solutions to protect themselves and secure their own future and their own ruling class agenda. And we're not having it. Ain't that right? We're not having it. We believe that the people that are closest to the problem are closest to the solution. This is the premise that turned our bill into law. We fought and won the legislation, and now we have the foundation. Now it's time to build the house. Let's get it funded.
Senator Ramos! I grew up in Asthma Alley in Astoria. I happen to represent the district where I'm born and raised. I also represent East Elmhurst, the neighborhood that was done in by Hurricane Ida. We are an environmental justice community where so many of our neighbors lost their homes during Hurricane Ida. Unfortunately, we lost some of our neighbors too. And we can't let that happen again. We've known about climate change for way too long for us to keep standing idly by. We champion that CLCPA, but a law is nothing without the money behind it. So you know Queens get the money. We're here not to mess around with actually protecting our planet and ensuring that we leave a home for our children. And that's why I want to commend you all on the incredible intergenerational, multiracial, multi-ethnic coalition that you have formed to send a unified message to our governor that we need money behind these mandates. We represent a growing immigrant community where we have welcomed the vast majority of asylum seekers that have arrived to New York. All of these workers deserve to have good union jobs to right our ship and protect our planet. That's where this money needs to go.
It's my honor and privilege, and respectfully, I greet Chief Harry Wallace of the Uncontrolled Nation.
I'm a Turtle Clan, and I'm the elected chief of the Uncontrolled Nation. And I'm here to tell you that New York is not an environmentally safe state. Why? They're not conservationists. They're resource managers. Their concern is how to manage the resource of the earth. We are people who consider the earth our mother. We call her Kakasun Aki, Earth Mother. And we have a generational responsibility to care for her. So if we care for her, we know that she will provide for us.
This has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
the blue skies blow. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby our lives. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more the use from man? Can't you stand? Thank you.
Turn me inside out and round and round.